Yeah, for sure. So what I always tell people on the most simple level is typically they start and they read the alphabet backwards. And what I mean by that is they start with Z instead of A, right? And what I like to tell people, and I was just in a meeting the other day, Doug, with, you know, CEO of a $100 million company. And he was frustrated. He was frustrated because, you know, their growth rate had slowed down a little bit. There were some new competitors that were popping into the space that were kind of eating their lunch a little bit. And we had a little bit of a conversation. And what I really realized at the end of the day was that they were talking to themselves. So talking about going backwards in the alphabet, the first letter in the alphabet is A. And you got to know who your audience is, right? Second thing is you got to know what your brand or your differentiating statement is. And then after that, you got to know, like, what are you trying to do with them? Most people, I think, they end up, what I would say, kind of trying to smell their own farts, which is where they're talking to themselves and they are not thinking about who their end customer is or who their end prospect is.
My guest this week is Pete Sinha, investor, digital transformation expert. He's been and done a lot. He's worked with a lot of companies, turned them around with their digital transformation plans and projects. And we're of one mind for the most of this episode. And well, we're also seems to be of the one shirt color, at least. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Pete Sinha. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Doug Thompson Podcast. We coordinated shirts today, Casey. This is the gray day that we'll have. My guest is Pete Sinha. Pete, how are you?
Good to be here, Doug, and good to be wearing the same clothing as well.
Yeah, well, at least you didn't follow the hairstyle. There's no need for that extra stuff going around. So thanks. So, Pete, tell us what you do. You had an interesting, you do a lot of stuff. So, and we want to talk about digital transformation again and storytelling stuff, but tell us all that you do. How do we get here?
Yeah, for sure. So the short version, Doug, is I'm just a really big nerd and I've been, you know, writing software and designing in some way, shape or form since I was a little kid. And ultimately I thought I wanted to make video games. And then I discovered this thing at a really early age called marketing. And I fell in love with it. I fell in love with just being able to understand how people work, how people think, and how people behave. And just as a super introverted kid who didn't have a lot of confidence growing up, you know, you can imagine, like most people, nerdy kids, you know, we want to understand people and we want people to understand us. So I went on to kind of get into marketing and cut my teeth in sports marketing to start, and then decided to ultimately start my own agency. So I started a digital agency almost 20 years ago. And that was really where I made, I'd say, most of my money early on. And then that afforded me the privilege and the blessing to be able to go on and do a lot of angel investing. And I got lucky with some of my investments. And some of those have, you know, gone on to help me start other businesses or get my hands in a lot of things. But I think at the most simple level, what I do, Doug, is I help companies grow. And I do that through branding and storytelling. And there's lots of other buzzwords to kind of do it. You know, we can throw a million of them out there. But really, at the end of the day, just I help companies grow with branding and storytelling. What I always tell people, Doug, is that your story is your strategy. And when you really figure out that story, that experience that you can craft, you're going to drive business forward. Now, as it comes to digital transformation, which is a buzzword I'm constantly being looped into, you know, one of my first businesses that I started was called Digital Surgeons. We call it DS today. And ultimately, we were digital from the day we were born. So ultimately, what that means is that all digital transformation is companies trying to use technology to grow and speed up and change the way that they experience and drive value for their customers. You fast forward to today, now everybody's talking about AI and the next big buzzword. But at the end of the day, really what we're talking about here is how do you use technology to grow your business or to grow your company? No matter if you're a mom and pop, you know, pizzeria, or if you're a Fortune 50 organization, you both have the same thing in common, which is you want to get more customers. You want to sell your customers that you already have more things and keep them coming back for more. And that's basically just the simple building blocks of business. And when you throw technology into the mix there, that's all digital transformation really is transforming a company using technology. So I'm happy to give you the deep dive on it, but I just didn't want to kind of talk over anybody's head here.
No, I appreciate that. And I think, you know, a successful digital transformation depends on them understanding what their story is, getting back to that first point that you made. Otherwise, it's just simply helping you do bad things faster. You know, that's really is all it does. So to help us, how do you find that a lot of companies don't really, you know, when you start something, a founder, you start up, you have sort of the story in mind, something you want to do. Is it a case of, say, somebody's been in business for a while that they found it, have they lost their story? Are they not tuned it? Or is it, you know, sort of walk through how you're helping identify that so you can help them grow? Because at a certain point you get a plateau. And I think it's based off you've done everything you can with the story that you're telling.
Yeah, for sure. So what I always tell people on the most simple level is typically they start and they read the alphabet backwards. And what I mean by that is they start with Z instead of A, right? Mm-hmm. And what I like to tell people, and I was just in a meeting the other day, Doug, with, you know, CEO of a $100 million company. And he was frustrated. He was frustrated because, you know, the growth rate had slowed down a little bit. There were some new competitors that were popping into the space that were kind of eating their lunch a little bit. And we had a little bit of a conversation. And what I really realized at the end of the day was that they were talking to themselves. So talking about going backwards in the alphabet, the first letter in the alphabet is A, and you got to know who your audience is, right?
Right.
Second thing is you got to know what your brand or your differentiating statement is. And then after that, you got to know, like, what are you trying to do with them? Most people, I think they end up, what I would say, kind of trying to smell their own farts, which is where they're talking to themselves and they are not thinking about who their end customer is or who their end prospect is. So I see that with companies. Again, this is a $100 million company. They've been in business for 30 plus years. And at the end of the day, they were just talking to themselves. So one of the things that we're going to help them do now is figure out what is the right story to tell. And when you stop talking about yourself and you start talking about the transformation that you create for people, that's where people buy in. And that's where people, because at the end of the day, we're all sort of selfish beings, right? It's like, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? And if you think about the ads that you or the audience responds to, like, do you respond to an audience that says, Doug is the leader in digital transformation and will transform your agile workflows and software methodologies, blah, blah. Or do you say, are you sick and tired of having five people do the job of what one AI tool can do? Well, have a conversation with Doug Thompson about how to do digital transformation. Yeah. Which one do you want to buy from? Again,
I may steal that second one.
Go for it.
No, but you're right. You know, and going back to your first point before we get into the second one was, you know, I was at Microsoft for many years before I left. And of course I left if I was, but part of the problem they had, and regard, you mentioned 100 million, this is billions of dollars company, is we would write software and make Windows the way we envisioned it was cool. Yep. You know, eventually they changed around to get feedback from customers and stuff, sort of help solve problems. But I think that's a myopic vision to some of them you have is, hey, look, we're smart. We're going to do cool things just because we can. You need this. And that's not, you know, again, going to your marketing type thing there. You want something, you got a problem to solve.
Yeah. I want to build on that too, Doug, because I'm a big fan of early days Microsoft. And I'm even more of a fan of today's Microsoft because, you know, under Nadella, they've just really transformed into a design driven company. And it's really amazing. One thing I also think that happens is that companies often turn into what I call the kitchen sink effect, right? Mm-hmm. So they start out really focused. We make one piece of software and it solves this specific problem. And then what ends up happening is you add a feature, you get a new customer, you add a feature, you get a new customer, you add a feature, you get a new customer. And then before you know it, you're everything to everyone, which means you're nothing to no one. Mm-hmm. And when you're trying to communicate with everybody, it's very difficult versus if you're talking to that one person. If I'm talking to Doug Thompson, right?
Yeah.
I know exactly what I'm trying to say to Doug. And I think that becomes difficult. Now, there's lots of ways we can do that with digital transformation, right? We can use personalization and all kinds of fancy different marketing methodologies to do that with segmentation and all those kinds of things. But I think more often than not, to get back to the ABCs, is who are you talking to? You know, why do they care? And like, ultimately, what makes you different and better? And that's like, you can call that marketing, you can call that transformation, whatever you want. I would argue that it's those simple building blocks that the most sophisticated marketers skip and they forget. And I have friends of mine who are like big product managers at Microsoft.
Yeah.
And when you're getting really caught up in like the new Azure cloud and this new AI service and webhook API, like you almost forget that like people just want a faster solution to their problem.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of times where we kind of smell our own farts as marketers.
Yeah. It gets into what I call tech explaining. You're sort of going all these other things and you're not really addressing again, what's this? One of my storytelling techniques that I teach, the very first thing is you have to sort of understand your audience and know where they live, use the words that they use the problems. So when I do a demo and stuff today, I'm always learning a little bit, doing a little stalking of the company, find out what they have if I don't know about them. And you need to make it personalized because, again, what's in it for me? If I'm using your name and if I'm telling the problems that you are, you know, showing how we solve the problems that you face every day, again, that's a much more compelling pitch than, hey, we're faster than, you know, the ones down the street.
Yeah. Amen to that.
So getting back to the digital transformation, what I find in a lot of companies, because I deal in IT a lot, not necessarily on the, you get this disconnect between IT and technology, which a lot of companies still view as a cost center, as opposed to how can it innovate to help me achieve my goals from a sales or a marketing side.
Yeah.
And I think, so there's two parts of that story you have to learn. One, that you get to realize the one side of the house that IT is an asset if it's used correctly. And the digital part, the digital transformation part is part, you know, enabling them to do what you needed to do, right? And then giving them the budget and everything else to go ahead and do with that. But that seems to be a cultural thing necessarily more than anything else. If you don't change the culture, I've found, nothing changes.
Yeah. No, I would tend to agree. I mean, I think the thought that I would share on that is a lot of organizations create silos, and those silos are actually for good reason, right? Because you don't want to have any single person be a point of failure in your organization, right? In other words, if someone gets sick, get hit by a bus thing, or I like to think they're off on a beach in Bali, or maybe
with journey something a little more pleasant,
something more pleasant that's lively. But I think at the end of the day, because of those matrix organizations, what ends up happening is information technology is something that is a siloed thing. And I think we're living in a world today that's entirely technologically driven. So this idea that we're going to sort of put the IT people in the basement, as a cost center versus being totally integrated into the C-suite, that's where I think that organizations need to understand who they are. So a good example, just to really keep it like a little bit more applicable, is like most organizations fall into one of two camps. Are you a sales organization or are you a marketing organization? Ultimate times, both those organizations, the sales and marketing teams, are fighting with each other. You know, it's sales' fault or it's marketing's fault, because realistically, everyone's got competing commitments. They've got competing KPIs. And I think that the value that digital transformation can drive when done right is it can create, not agile in terms of the buzzword or methodology, but it can create a sense of agility or flexibility for things like accountability and things like planning and things like how these different things work with one another, whether it's the tools or the workflows or that sort of thing. So I think ultimately, especially now with all this AI stuff that's happening, and specifically I'm referring to like large language models, part of AI, it's a particular field in the AI space. I think what's happening now is people are realizing that language is how we experience the world. Language is how we understand things. So if we can use that language in a way that's repeatable, we can start to incorporate this into the tooling, and that's going to help people work together more closely. But the challenge is, I think in a lot of cases, that people think they can just throw in a new tool or throw in a new process into an organization, and they realize that they create more problems than they solve. And that's where I think that a lot of times people look at technology the wrong way in a company, as opposed to a catalyst to bring people together.
Yeah. No, one of the other points that you're making is everybody's working off the same play sheet. If you get everybody using the technology right, you don't have to, again, removes those silos at the right place.
Yeah.
So you have that. So yeah, when you're trying to use the stories, and you have to sort of spin it on both sides. So if you're talking to a technology person, how do you craft a story that they understand what marketing, sales, and everybody else is? How can they show that you can add value and you can be a key player here?
Yeah. Well, I think it first starts with the understanding of what is value to the organization and how do you add value. So the same point I made earlier about the joke of an ad, which is like, am I speaking to you or am I speaking to myself, right? If I'm talking to a chief technology officer or a chief information officer, these folks typically own the technology budgets in an organization. You know that, Doug, but maybe the audience doesn't entirely know that, right? But let's say for an example, that's the case. I like to understand, how are you measured? So what are your goals and KPIs? Because everyone wants the thing that's going to get them promoted, that's going to get them the big fat bonus at the end of the year, the thing that's going to give them job security, right? Mm-hmm. So what's in it for them? And then from there, once you understand what drives them, then what do they care about, right? So, okay, now I know what's going to get you promoted, what's going to get you your next promotion, your next bonus, whatever, or what's going to get you fired if you miss the KPI. I also know what's going to ultimately be the thing that matters to you. So if I'm dealing with a CTO that's got a large tech team and they're looking to incorporate a new tool because it's going to, like, for example, there's a tool that a lot of people are loving called Cursor, which is basically a IDE fork of VS Code, right? And it lets you use these large language models like GPT-4 to code faster. Right. So if I'm in charge of 50 coders, and I know that right now I've got a massive product roadmap and I've got a hiring freeze, well, how do I make my 50 coders that much more efficient? Well, I could probably make them that much more efficient by doing that. So if I know my KPI is, velocity, what I can ship at a faster rate, and I know that the thing that their devs just don't have more time to do, well, how can I make my devs faster? Well, I can go the learning and development route. I can go the tooling route. But if I know what they really care about is this new tool because it's going to ultimately enable them to move faster, mm-hmm. I'm going to figure out a way to justify that. But yeah. on one hand, that person might want that, but they also might be afraid that's going to make them have to do the same job with 25 devs instead of 50. So if that's the case, yeah. they're going to actually revolt against this AI tool because of what that's going to mean for them. So I think at the end of the day, we have to realize that technology is only as good as the humans that are working with it. And that's right. where I think it gets down to, like, well, what's the story? And yeah. understanding what that story is going to ultimately drive that. So I think in the case of that, how I would go about understanding is what matters to them and how do I make sure that I can find a middle ground that's ultimately going to give them what they need and want, but at the same time, balance the needs of the organization that's going to drive that. So I hope that answers the question.
No, it does. And you bring up another point about the AI and any type of really technical innovation is that, you know, I'm going to lose my job. And ideally, when I'm talking to people, I say, look, I take IT operations. Nobody gets into IT to patch. Nobody gets in. Yeah, you spend a lot of time doing that. Why? Why not? You can automate that where you can do something that lights your fire, adds extra value rather than doing that. Why not do that? You're not here to be replaced by this. Now, if you never change your skills, you never up, then yeah, I mean, nobody makes ice boxes anymore, right? But if you can embrace it and you understand what it can do and you can make you better, you know, and that's a tough, sometimes people just don't get that. And you have to tell the story six or seven different ways to hopefully they'll understand. It's important to them.
So here's a fun fact that I want to share with the audience. I think they're going to really value this. One of the leading reasons why people get into IT is because of ego. And I'll get really clear about that, yeah. right? If you talk to a lot of people who run the IT team, right? Mm-hmm. Like back in the day, the DevOps people you would call the neckbeards, right? The sort of joke, right? And yeah. and I say that again as a nerd myself, right? I trimmed the beard today for you. But jokes aside, right? If you think about the people who typically have the keys to the IT castle, mm-hmm. they're typically, and I say typically, I'm not making a generalization, but they're typically more on the introverted side.
Yeah.
They're typically better with machines and computers than they are with people.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is if you find the kids that got picked on a lot growing up, a lot of times those are the ones that have the root access to the server, right?
Yeah.
And when you think about it, it's like they couldn't rule the sports team. They couldn't rule the sort of coffee shop, but they rule the server. So when you think about that, like in a lot of cases, I say this as someone who used to have that background myself, but I also said as someone who works with a lot of IT people is most people get into IT for a couple of reasons. One of them is power, right? Mm-hmm. Having power over that. And it's kind of like the SNL skit from years ago where it was like, you know, can you fix my computer? And the person comes over and it's like showing them something like move. It's sort of a power grab, right? Yeah. So what's interesting is, and you think about a world where you're making changes, where you're going to mm-hmm. take power away from the IT person.
Yeah.
Because you want to distribute that power to give more people the power in the organization. That's what's good for the company.
Yeah.
But that's not what's good for the person. So ultimately what you have to sort of think about is like the five whys that drive people, right? So it's like, I always say fear, love, or greed. Those mm-hmm. are typically the three things that drive most people. And I'd say more importantly than not, greed and fear is what drives most people, even before love in some cases.
Well, that goes back to human nature. We're designed from the negative piece of that. We don't very often look at the positive. We have to work hard to do that.
Amen, brother. Amen. So that's just one thing I wanted to share there is like, I think that like when we think about whether it's IT teams or digital transformation, mm-hmm. it's like people want to understand what's in it for them.
Yeah.
And what's in it for the broader, bigger cause. And that's where I think that all you have to do is say, you know, when IBM says that they're replacing X amount of percentage of their workforce and they're getting rid of back office, replacing it with AI. Well, if I work in that back office situation, I'm scared to death of AI. So when someone comes in, if I've got the power to veto that decision, that's self-preservation right there, right? So that's just how I look at it is like when I think about digital transformation, you got to find out the carrot and the thing that truly motivates each people, not the carrot, but really the intrinsic motivation of what's motivating all the people to say yes, and then find that intersection. And that's where I think some of the best digital transformation programs kick in is like when you figure out what lights everybody up and how do you do something that's going to make people, you know, if the thing that people get sick of is bad meetings, okay, we're going to have 50% less meetings if we use this tool.
Yeah.
Oh my God, count me in. If it's like, oh, we're going to drive this much higher margin. Well, and your bonus comp is based on margin. All right. Well, you know what? when we roll out this technology, we see more than 40% of our organization getting pay increases because of increased margins.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just feel like it's really human nature at the end of the day.
It is. Yeah. You're dealing where you can't get that carbon-based life form out of it, whatever that comes on. But yeah. And I think is a sad closing note. I hate to close on a sad note. We'll turn around happy is that those people that are in it for about power. It's their own self-limiting type thing. Cause sooner or later, either your company goes out of business or they will get somebody that will do something to change. The people that do that are above you will do that. But those that are got into IT, and I didn't hear you mention this, but you know, being a nerd is cool and it's fun and you're just curious. That's one of the other reasons that you get into this. And sooner or later, somewhere we get somewhere where we can't have that fun and can't do that. That's why I talk about let's automate some stuff so you can get back into things that light you up while you like going into work rather than, okay, it's Patch Tuesday again. I'm going to spend the rest of my life in here doing that.
Yeah.
So Pete, thanks a lot for that. And I know you listen to your podcast, you got some great long form discussions. This is just a sort of a snippet of what one of your discussions would be on that. Pete, how do they get a hold of you? And that's the best way to do it. How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Doug. So I'm pretty much Pete Senna on just about every channel. I have a free newsletter that I put out every few weeks that's just kind of capturing thoughts on technology. I've been writing about AI quite a bit recently, and that's just PeteSenna.com. There's a button to grab the newsletter. I'm pretty active on Twitter X and all the major platforms. So hope to hear from some folks. If this is valuable for you, I would really appreciate it if you could share with me why, so that I can think about how I can better shape my message in the future for you.
Yeah, no, thanks, Pete. Thanks for that. Is it a tweet or is it an X? I still haven't figured out what the rules are for that.
I'll never stop calling it tweets, and hopefully Elon doesn't ban me for that.
Well, sooner or later, we all get banned, right? So, Pete, thanks a lot. There you have it. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Pete. I had a lot of fun doing it with him. We were in agreement a lot of the times, but I learned a few things, too, along the way. It always is good when you can learn something, and you know that's why I talk to the guests that I have. So if you liked the episode, please leave us a rating at your favorite podcast app, but please share it with people, too. And, you know, I do this for you. But I appreciate you for what you do. Happy holiday. This is coming out in the Christmas of 2023. And I wish you all good luck. Until next season, thanks for listening.